O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Two years ago for Father's Day, a family from our congregation over in Mattoon, Kurt and Tracy Rankin and company, on Father's Day invited us to go to Lake Shelbyville over in Central Illinois. And one of the things that we did as we went out on their boat was eventually we went tubing. And it had been a while since I'd gone tubing. My kids had never been tubing. Piper was 10 years old, our oldest at the time. And so the boat was strong enough to pull two tubes. So Piper and I went back and both were on a tube. And she was a little afraid, but I really wasn't satisfied that we were going fast enough. So eventually I said, Piper, we're either going to go faster or you're going to have to get off. So she got off, and then it was just me and Kurt, the driver of the boat, and the tube. And then I kept telling Kurt, go faster, go faster. See, growing up, especially in high school, I fancied myself quite a tuber. I was strong enough to hold on. Every once in a while I'd get thrown off, but it was rare. So Kurt had decided to take the challenge as he was driving the boat. And eventually he was going in and out of coves and he was trying to crack the whip and I was not letting go. It felt like I was on there for 10 minutes. It was probably only 3. But eventually I realized that I was holding on to the tube successfully, but I've got a long torso. I was slowly dragging more and more in the water, still on the tube. Fortunately, my swim trunks had a very strong tie. I didn't lose them. But I realized at one point I'm going to keep holding on, but I don't know how much longer. And finally, I had to swallow my pride and give him the stop. Just let's set a stop here. Because he wasn't going to throw me off. I wouldn't let that happen. And the boat began to slow down. And then I had to begin to try to uncurl my fingers and just let go of the tube. And then I lie there in the water. Could hardly move. It took me about a week to be able to raise my hands over my head. See, the thing is, on the tube, there were really two things that could have happened. Either we were going to hit a wave or Kurt's skill as the captain of the boat would be enough to throw me off and you'd get popped off or bounced off the tube, or eventually I had to make a decision to let go, to be done. Make a choice to let go. But I think this is an apt analogy for our lives. When things happen, there's a question of when should we let go? When do we let go? Is it a sign of weakness to eventually let go? Will there be a circumstance in your life or my life where we are forced to let go or popped off the tube? Or will it be that we'll be able to make a choice to actually let go? Well, one of my mentors as a pastor, my vicarage supervisor at St. Paul's in Janesville, Wisconsin. His name is Paul Garko. He shared with me a few years ago, and for some reason we were talking on the phone, and I was talking about this text, and he said that one of his beloved homebound members named Adolf Fund, who was in his 90s, had shared with him some very appropriate wisdom. He said, Adolf Fund said that the secret to getting older is that you have to learn to let go of things. The secret to getting older is that you have to learn to let go of things. And so I was only 38 at the time when I was tubing. I had to learn to just let go of the tube. But I think that's appropriate. We can apply that to all areas of our lives. I saw some of you smiling when I said that about the secret to getting older is that you have to learn to let go of things. Well, St. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're right at basically the end of 2 Corinthians now, tells the story of a man who was taken up to the third heaven. Well, it turns out that St. Paul, in not wanting to boast, he says, well, I know about a man, who was actually himself, who was taken up to the third heaven, and he says, if anyone would have reason to boast, I would have reason to boast, but I don't want to get into that. But then he says, but if I were going to boast about something of myself, I would boast about my weaknesses, in fact. And there's a reason for that. And Paul says that in order to keep me from becoming conceited, he says, the Lord gave me a thorn in the flesh, some kind of suffering. whether it be physical suffering, if he had an ailment that his eyes bothered him, or something with his back, or maybe it was an emotional kind of suffering, something caused St. Paul to suffer. He called it a thorn in the flesh. He said there was a messenger from Satan sent to harass me. But the truth is, Paul knows, and I pray that you and I know, that God actually uses suffering for his good purpose. And then it's ultimately by faith that St. Paul can say, what does he say? He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it, this thorn in the flesh, should leave me. And St. Paul, this hero of the faith, is not given an answer to his prayer in the way that he initially wants. Because the Lord responds to Paul in 12 verse 9, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in, not strength, but what? Weakness. So he says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions and calamities. And then he builds to this crescendo, this paradox, and he says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. When he is emptied of himself, then he is strong. Well, for most of us, the movement in a lifetime is a movement from being weak to being strong, or stronger to being weak again. From being weak and dependent on others for everything, a little infant, a toddler, well, really, we're always dependent, to being stronger and independent, to then moving into the fall and winter of our lives, many times we're once again dependent on others. But the truth is, we are always 100% dependent on God's grace. Now, we don't always believe that or trust that 100% of the time. God will often use suffering to remind us or draw us closer to him, to encourage us to let go. And sometimes we consciously move by the Spirit, said, yeah, I need to just let go of these things. And other times the Lord uses the Spirit or uses events and forces us to pop off the tube and completely let go. Well, 2 weeks after my tubing triumph 2 years ago, we had another significant event, at least in my time, in the 8.5 years I served at St. John's Mattoon. The only organist I ever knew as a pastor was going to retire, and he did. His name was Dr. Herman Taylor. Dr. Herman Daniel Taylor, to be precise. Dr. Taylor, because he had gone to the University of Michigan, who would want to go there, of all places, and received a doctorate in organ, I guess organ recital, I don't know, something to do with an organ. And he was such an accomplished organist that he had, from memory, toured Europe and played the entire Bach catalog. Just phenomenal. He was a bit of almost a musical genius, could just change keys on the fly. I could go over to the organ and have a conversation with him. He would continue to play and talk to me. I don't know how he did it, but he did. But he was in the winter of his life, especially as an organist. And Herman had shared with me, even probably, I'd only been at St. John for probably 2 years. He said, I don't want to get to the point where I embarrass myself as an organist. I don't want to embarrass my wife or my family. I don't want to embarrass my church family. And so I don't want to play beyond when I should play. He was conscious of this. I think because early in his time as an organist, he was tasked with going in and replacing someone else, and he had to give him the news that they were beyond their prime. Well, Herman is gifted physically, about 6 feet 2 inches tall, but his hands, well, I wouldn't say they're twice the size of mine, but they're huge, could span a number of keys, and his feet were still nimble at 78 years old, but he had reached the point, and see, it wasn't physically that he struggled, it was with his memory. Now, he still knew most of the Bach pieces that he had played from memory, but he may not remember meeting my wife, the first Sunday we were at St. John, and in fact, about once a month, he would reintroduce himself to Andrea, and she would just play along. Hey, Dr. Taylor, nice to meet you. And then it got to be a bit more of a challenge because he wouldn't always know where we were in the service and what hymn to play. And sometimes we'd be in the midst of a hymn and we'd only play 3 or 5 verses and suddenly we'd all smile. I guess we're done. We're just going to continue on. But we loved and still love Herman Taylor. So the Sunday had finally come where he's going to let go of playing the organ. He had prayed about this, he had agonized over it, but it was time. Well, in Mattoon, the process was that the pastors would pick out the hymns for the entire service and usually just give them to Herman, and he would come in and play them. Most of the times, the hymns we wanted. But don't ask him to use an alternate tune, because that was forbidden. So I appreciate that Pam allows that. But this final service, I met with Herman and I said, just pick out the hymns for the entire service. Well, the sermon hymn that he picked out is the one that we sang today, How Firm a Foundation. Now Herman is a very colorful character, never at a loss for words, very eloquent. And yet when I asked him, why did you choose How Firm a Foundation? Nothing came out. Well, not with words. But I looked into his eyes and I saw the tears. And I said, well, let me ask you a little bit differently. Tell me from a musical perspective. Tell me from the perspective of the organ why you chose How Firm a Foundation. And he said, well, it's, he would always remind us the organ is the king of the instruments. And he would say it just like that. He would say, because with How Firm a Foundation, I can eventually build to the point of using the foundation stops. Oh, the what is it called? The diapason, right. I didn't know what those are and still don't. I can't even say it. Using the diapason, the flutes, using every bit of the organ. And his goal was to get to, at least as the organ was arranged in Mattoon, piston number 7. Because if he could get to piston number 7, that meant everybody was singing. And then he would tell me often after the service, boy, we had church today. Because everybody was singing. But How Firm a Foundation is a hymn that is actually based in part on 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 4 it says, when through fiery trials your pathway will lie, my grace all sufficient will be your supply. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And what I preached that day, and what I'll still preach today, is that Herman's strength was not found in how well he could play the organ, and he could play it well. I don't know if better than Pam. We ought to have an organ duel someday. It wasn't based in the fact that he had won numerous organ competitions in his lifetime. It wasn't based certainly on the strength of his memory, because he was losing his short-term memory very rapidly. But his strength, just as Max told us, and Liam, was based in Jesus. Jesus, the one who we are weak, but he is strong. And so even as our bodies fail and our grip gets less sure, and at some point we're popped off the tube and we don't get to make a choice on things, and other times, like Herman, we have to reluctantly let go, our strength is found in Christ alone. See, your strength and mine is not found ultimately in anything but Jesus. It's not found in all the things that you've had to let go of during your lifetime, the things that you've chosen to let go of. And maybe that's your career. Maybe that's your prized hot rod. Maybe that's your trophy fish that you had mounted when you went fishing wherever. Not in your stack of money, but it's found in Jesus. nor is your strength found in the things that were taken from you or me. Maybe you didn't get to choose to retire from your job, but you were let go, as my friend Ben said once. He wasn't fired, he was let go. So I thought it was the same difference. But found in the things that you were forced to let go of when you lost the bulk of your 401k in the stock market, taking a tumble. Not found in the people that were taken from you. And maybe that's your parent or your spouse or, God forbid, your child. Because there are times, and I've been alongside people, we've been in the hospital, and there's a decision, can we let go now? Can we discontinue life support? See, it might be law to you and me that you need to let go. Or maybe it's gospel that you can actually let go. Because by the end of that tubing session 2 years ago, it was gospel. Like, I get to let go. And Kurt and Tracy Rankin and their three children will not think less of me. Well, I hope they won't, because I let go of the tube. Although they didn't pop me off. Just let that be part of the record. But see, my strength is not found in me, and neither is yours. And when our hands, and sometimes it's not by choice, and sometimes maybe it's begrudgingly by choice, when we let go and begin to unball our hands and let go of that grip on all the things that seem to be so important, it's into empty hands that God pours out all that we need. At the beginning of John's Gospel, in John 1:16, St. John writes, "For from his fullness, from Jesus' fullness, we have all received grace upon grace." See, verse 5 of How Firm a Foundation sums it up. And we sang, "Throughout all their lifetime, my people will prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love." And then when gray hairs, or in Herman's case, basically no hairs, "Will their temples adorn, like lambs they will still in my bosom be born." See, despite the fact that Herman's memory was failing, the good news is, and we as Lutheran Christians can articulate this well, his salvation is not dependent on how well he remembers or holds on to Jesus, but the fact that Jesus never forgets him or lets go. Herman's strength, and yours and mine, is found in the Good Shepherd who'll never let go of you. You can see that if you back up and look at the window back there on your way out. Don't do it now, it'd be weird. Whose grip is strong and secure. Who is strong? The strongest. So strong that he would willingly go to the cross and hang there for your sin and mine. So strong that raised on the third day, he would defeat sin and death and the power of the devil. So strong that he reigns from the right hand of his Father, and that he will return with power and glory and strength to save us. The ones who by faith can say, "Yeah, I'm weak, but he is strong. He is my strength. And to Jesus be the glory. Amen." And now may the peace that passes understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our strong Savior. Amen.